بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. وعن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتقوا الله حيث كنت، حيث ما كنت، وأتبعوا السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما بعثت ليتمم مكارم الأخلاق، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصا لوجهك الكريم، آمين يا رب العالمين. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher, Lord of all the universes. Peace and salutations upon our beloved master, our teacher and our guide, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may the everlasting peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his pleasure be upon the noble sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi majma'in, who are the companions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and acted out his example in a very beautiful manner and encapsulated it so perfectly that we have this beautiful deen with us in the way we do. Indeed, the greatest asset that we have today for tomorrow, the greatest asset that we have today for tomorrow is our youth, is our children. And what type of tarbiyah, what type of education, what type of upbringing we give our youth today is going to determine the future. When we talk generally about a child's Islamic education, then we generally go into the technicalities of curriculum, of methodology. We try and talk about the balance of secular and religious education and similar concerns, testing, exams, etc. But as important as it is, sometimes we miss the bigger picture. Sometimes we miss what education is actually supposed to be. It is necessary that we instill certain types of values in our children. Not just grant them any education, which is important, but instill certain types of values in them so that tomorrow we can nurture balanced, wholesome, honest human beings who will live lives by example and who exemplify good character in their dealings with other people. Now, it is becoming extremely difficult in the times we are living in to upbring or give our children a very good upbringing. We try and resort to methods other than the Sharia and other than what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Yes, if I ask each one of us, yes, I'm doing something for my child, I'm sending him to a Muslim school, I am sending him to a madrasa. But what type of environment am I creating for my particular child or all my children in my home and us collectively as a community? Now, if we have to look at one of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very beautiful hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he gives three things that we should be inculcating in our children so they can become better leaders for tomorrow. Reported by Abu Dharr radiallahu an, he said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, he said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتْ. Fear Allah, have taqwa in Allah, wherever you may be. Number one. Number two, وَأَتْبِعُ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And if by chance you do something wrong, follow it up with good. تَمْحُهَا, it will get erased. The bad, the evil will get erased. And number three, وَخَالِقُ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And deal with people with the best of characters. In our madrasa days, when Malana Zulfiqar Ahmed Naqshbandi Damat Barakatum came to our madrasa, and at that time we were new fathers, we asked him for advice on how to bring up our children, and he gave us three advices. The first thing he said, like this hadith says, that instill in your children the taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, instill in them the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnah. And number three, make their companions the Quran al-Kareem. Now very briefly combining these two hadith, there are a few points that we will endeavor to explain inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is taqwa, that we should instill in our children. Now generally taqwa is translated as fear of Allah, rightly so, but taqwa has two sides. Taqwa means having a balance in one's life between the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love and the hope and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other side. So love or fear driven by love. Fear driven by love. We need to instill in our children the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always ever watching us. We need to instill in our children the fact that Jannah is real. And while Jannah is real, Jahannam is also real. We need to explain to them from the ahadith and the Quran that if you do certain actions, they're going to have certain repercussions. If you do a good deed by saying Subhanallah, you're going to get a tree in Jannah, which is a barren land that everyone has been given. But if you lie on the other hand, there is punishment in Jahannam. As harsh as it might sound, that we need to instill the fear of Allah in our children, it is the reality and it is what Islam teaches us. That as much as there is Jannah, which we all inspire for, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make each one of us an inhabitor of, there is Jahannam also. So teach them that the fire is reality, that the Akhirah is reality, the day of Qiyamah is reality. One day we're going to have to be standing in front of our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're going to have to give an account of what we did. Don't only tell them the fact that they are not baligh and they are not mukallaf, so they're not getting good and bad deeds. Make it as real as possible to them from an early age. Because tomorrow when they become baligh, then they transition from doing nothing to doing everything is going to be a difficult one. So as young as they might be, instill this first quality of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, that ayat that I recited before you, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. And that person that has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's position, that he is the king of kings and he can do as he pleases. Have that fear in your life, in your heart. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he restricts his self against his carnal desires. Instill in our children that if we don't do what Allah doesn't want us to do, then what we're going to get in place of that? فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That indeed Jannah is your abode. The second point derived from this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to instill in our children the spirit of forgiveness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that follow up an evil deed by a good deed. Tamhuha, it will get wiped out. So as we instilled in them the fact that there is repercussions or consequences for our actions, in the same vein instill in them the fact that there is tawbah and istighfar. There is some door that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can turn to. If they do something wrong, make them follow it up with a good. If they hurt someone's feelings, then let them make it up to that person by gifting them something, for example. So follow up an evil action of theirs with something good. Important in this point also is inculcating them the importance of communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every night before they go sleep, read their du'as for them, or instruct the bigger ones to read it on their own. But also let them speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell them to tell Allah their problems. Tell them to ask Allah whatever they want. Tell them to ask Allah for forgiveness for whatever wrong they did during the day, however small they might be. Whether it is a lie they spoken here, or whether it is they hit their brother or sister there, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them for that particular action. Although they are not mukallaf, they are not held responsible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this stage in their lives. But inculcating it, because as much as tawbah is needed for us, we need to instill it in our children so it can become part of their lives. Third, وَخَالِقُ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Instill in your children good character. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Part of the job of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of his portfolio, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ, I have been sent. Why? لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. To complete a good character. Numerous ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sahaba went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, give us something easy that we can do, that we can enter Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, have good character. In a beautiful hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains good character like this. And he says, the like of good character is like sunshine that melts ice and evil. Indeed, good character melts sins, just as sunshine melts ice. And indeed, evil character spoils goodness, just as vinegar spoils honey. Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Tha'laba radiallahu anhu says, the one who will be the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah is the one, not that has read the most salah, or the one who has fasted the most, or the one who has made the most hajj and umrah. No, the one who has the best character. Unfortunately, with the surroundings, with our environment, with the television, with the influences of the West around us, good character is leaving us slowly but surely. And it's leaving our children even faster. A simple instruction to them to say please, to say jazakallah, to teach them that to hold the door open for someone coming in the store after them. A simple practice to instill in them of helping an elderly person carrying something heavy. These things are leaving our youth slowly but surely. And unfortunately, it is us as parents that need to be blamed for this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us role model parents, inshaAllah. So the third point is to instill good character in our children. The fourth point is that we need to instill in our children the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the love for his sunnah. Instill in them the love for his sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man ahabba sunnati, whoever loves my sunnah, faqad ahabbani, then he has loved me. Wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah, and whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those. Who doesn't want to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah? And the way, the easy door to that is instill each and every sunnah of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our children. That mentality of saying they are too young, leave it. Let them enjoy themselves. When they get bigger, then we'll worry about it. No, my beloved elders and brothers, instill it in our children now, each and every sunnah. The miswak, the topi, the turban, the use of atar, the burning of bakhur, whatever small sunnah we can inculcate in our life, in the lives of our children, do it from now. Do it from now, so tomorrow when they become parents, that environment is created. And if each household takes the responsibility of making their household a sunnah household, imagine the sunnah community we will be living in. Read the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them. Read the description of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them. Tell them how tall or how short Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. What his complexion was. What the color of his hair or the skin, or his skin was. Make it a reality. Make it an abstract in their lives. So they can picture him, and they will want to please him. In this way, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inculcating them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell you this. For example, be kind to animals. So tomorrow when the child is either good to an animal, tell him that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is happy with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you. And you're going to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. Inculcate the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their lives. The fifth point is to make their companion the Quran al-Karim. Quran is not a school subject. As much as we think it is, Quran is not a school subject. Don't leave it that we're only going to let them read their sabak and their door for Quran for the next period to fill in the form and sign it and send it to class the next day. Make their companion the Quran. Every day of their lives, weekend or holiday, make a fixed time in your home that everyone is going to sit with the Quran. Even if it's a small child, give her a kitab in her hand and she'll hymn something like she's reading the Quran. The Quran al-Kareem is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By making it their companion, we are giving them something of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they have something of Allah in their heart, it is going to motivate them in future to tread the path of light and the path of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another important aspect that we need to inculcate in our children, and we'll conclude on this inshallah, is that we need to stop spoiling our children. We need to stop spoiling our children. Every day we give them the food that they like to eat. This is incorrect. Give them simple foods, and now and then when they do get what they like, pizzas and hot dogs and burgers and so forth, they'll appreciate it. Don't give it to them every day, because they're going to lose the value of it, and they're going to become unappreciative of it. Don't only dress them in branded name stuff. Don't only dress them in the finest of clothing. Allah forbid, this is going to create some type of pride in their hearts. And also, what is going to do the poor children amongst them? is going to create in them an inferiority complex. And it is going to create in them also a type of hatred towards a child that he thinks is better than me, so I'm going to show him a point. Don't give our children everything they ask for. It was so sad that this fidget spinner craze came as a wave, as a tsunami in our community. When we did, when we asked in the classes, who got fidget spinners and how many and how much you spent on them, Allah save us and Allah forgive us the amount of money that was wasted on that. Because each child wanted what his next friend had. And wanted each type of every one of them. For a small toy that was had no benefit in it. I'm not saying don't buy for your children. By all means give them. But don't spoil them. Everything they want they get. Everything they want they get. I was speaking to someone and he said, you know, we're living in a different generation and we want to give them what our parents couldn't give us that time. That is a mentality that has no place in Islam. You are spoiling your children and tomorrow they are going to suffer the consequences more than you yourself. That is a foolish concept. So now what happens is that both the spouses are working. Why not to make ends meet? Yes, if they both need to work and they need to make ends meet, that's a different instance. But here both of them are working. Why? We need to get a better income so we can send them to the best of schools. We can drive the best of cars. We can make them as comfortable as possible. This is against the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was offered all the gold in the world, all the riches in the world. But what he chose? He chose to live with the poor. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Appreciate what Allah has given you. Give your children, yes, by all means. I'm not saying don't give them. But limit what they give them. Make them earn it. Make them go and get weekend jobs, holiday jobs. Make them earn money. Make them buy with that hard-earned money so they can appreciate it. If they're getting everything on a plate, tomorrow they are going to suffer the consequences. I promise you, my brothers, Allah save us and Allah save our future generations. Times are becoming tough. Times are becoming tough. The shaitan and the Dajjal and all the influences of the West are taking our communities by surprise. Before it was limited to the non-Muslim communities, but now it is infiltrated in our communities and it is making a devastating effect. It is said that if you want to ruin a nation, ruin its youth. You want to ruin a nation, ruin its youth. And this is what they are doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first give me the tawfiq and everyone sitting here the tawfiq of living our lives in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inculcating every practice and every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our children, no matter how small and no matter how big. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for the khidmat of His deen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.